queen of talking. Hey, what's on your mind? She's getting real, not afraid to feel. Take her soul to soul, just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
I am super excited to be joined by Lane Hardy, the 2019 American Idol winner. We're so happy to have you with us for Nashville Insider. What's going on?
Thank you for having me. I'm just out in Nashville now, actually.
I know. Okay, so you just moved to Nashville. I saw you just posted that you just arrived. Are you living here permanently now? What's your situation? Because you came from Louisiana, and now you're a Nashville resident?
Well, I'm not living here yet, but eventually I will. With all this corona stuff going on, I've just been back and forth weeks at a time, coming to do media, promo, videos, and planning next year out.
So I was watching your audition tape, and I have to say, I feel like you got one of those dream audition tapes where you roll up, and they loved your story to begin with, because you were a country boy talking about alligators. Katy Perry had on some alligator earrings, and you're talking about how you like have gotten super close to alligators, maybe even hunted a few a couple times. And Luke, you could tell Luke was loving you from the start. And he was like, please, God, let him sing. Please let him be able to sing. And then you sang, and I feel like everyone was floored. And that does not happen a lot of the times. Like, a lot of times people go on American Idol, and it's 100% the opposite reaction. So did you feel like you were sort of blessed from the start? What did that feel like to have the judges love you from the beginning?
Well, that first time I went on there, my mom, one day she asked me when I got back home from school. I was a junior in high school at the time, and she asked me, she's like, what'd you think about going to try out for American Idol or something? Because she's heard me sing a few times. I wasn't singing like full songs. I was just playing around. She's like, go try it out. I was like, I don't know, Mom. I don't know about that. And then I said, all right, I'll do it. So when I went in front of the judges, and they told me all their opinions about my voice and me, it just kind of raised my confidence that I have for my voice. So it just raised my confidence level. And I mean, yes, I'm very blessed that happened, you know.
Were you already a pretty confident person going into this?
I wasn't. Like, I mean, I'm more of like a introverted person. And I mean, I'm very shy.
You are?
I still am. I like that part of me. And I mean, it's...
Tell me what you like about being shy and soft-spoken, because I agree. I think that's a special trait.
Well, the good thing about it is being shy and soft-spoken, shy people don't talk a lot, and that gives you time and space to listen to what other people have to say. And then you just take notes and observe everything around you that goes on. And you just learn a lot from not talking all the time, you know what I mean? And that's just how I am. I don't talk much, but I like to listen a lot.
So. Where do you think that developed from? What made you be such an aware person from such a young age? Like, where did you gather that sense of listening first instead of talking?
Probably from how I was raised.
Yeah. How was that?
Well, my dad just taught me a lot of things, and he's told me, I just kept in mind.
What are some of the lessons he told you?
Well, he told me just listen, just always listen to what somebody says. Just if you have your opinion for something, just keep it to yourself until they tell you theirs, you know. But it's like really, it's really cool if you ask me. I mean, I don't want to change that about myself. I think it's helpful got me where I am.
So I saw that you said before you auditioned for American Idol, your mom didn't really even know that. Well, you were definitely a singer because you and your brother were playing bars when you were like 6 years old, right? Weren't you like playing shows with your brother?
Oh, what did you say? You cut out. I'm sorry.
Weren't you like playing bars in shows with your brother when you were 6 years old?
No, ma'am. I started. Hey, can you shut the door, Nate? Can you shut the door?
Yep.
I'm sorry. There's wooden floors in here. I got my first guitar when I was six. And then at 7 years old, I started taking guitar lessons from a local guy in Livingston. And then I took guitar lessons from 7 years old to 13. And then I stopped taking lessons and started singing around 14 years old. But I wasn't like fully singing. I was a little shy to do that. But me, my brother, my cousin, my other cousin, we all just made a band together, and we played locally at like restaurants, bars, festivals and stuff, but I wasn't normally the one that sang a lot. I was always playing lead guitar. I was just doing solos all the time.
Why weren't you the one that sang? Because I also saw that you started singing because you would get on your four-wheeler and go out into the woods and then just practice singing by yourself out there, like I guess in the privacy of the woods. That's kind of amazing just to have them as your audience. But why did you not debut your voice in this band that you're forming with your brother and cousins for a while? Were you, what made you finally want to share it?
Well, I was a little like iffy about it. I wasn't confident about it, you know? And once I like sang to the judges, it like kind of gave me a little bit more of a sense of confidence for my voice.
And was that one of the first times that you sang as a lead singer?
I don't think so. I mean, I sang a couple times at like a show or something, but it was like a bar or something. It was like loud. Everybody was loud, so you couldn't really.
So you debuting on American Idol was one of the first moments there where you were stepping into this role as Lane Hardy, the singer, the artist, all by yourself. You're not in a band with your family. You're not playing you're playing guitar, but you're not solely playing an instrument. You like were stepping out. I mean, that is a huge stage to like start on. Oh my gosh, were you freaking out? Like you're performing in front of some of the biggest singers in the world, Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, Luke Bryan as your judges. Obviously, Bobby Bones is there too, who's a huge radio personality. Ryan Seacrest. So these are who you start for, and now you're being all over. Millions of people on TV are watching you. Is that intimidating?
It's not intimidating. To me, it's just like nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But because some people, it might be intimidating, but to me, it just made me like really nervous, and that's what fuels me, nerves.
So how do you push through your nerves and not crack? Like, so especially since this is something more new for you to be the lead singer in front of all of these people now and all these people judging you, literally, how do you, nerves fuel you, but how do you make sure they fuel you positively and don't shut you down? Like when you're in the middle of these performances?
Well, I respect and accept the reasons why the nerves are there. And
what are those reasons for you?
Well, you don't overthink the situation that you're in. You just do it. You don't think twice. Don't doubt yourself. You just believe in yourself. And just don't stress about anything because that's not needed. It's unnecessary. Nobody should ever stress about anything because we're still living and breathing.
Now, where does that come from? That sounds like a faith that you have internally.
Yes.
Are you a pretty faithful spiritual guy? God's guy?
I am.
How does God play a part of your life and everything you do?
Well, I wouldn't be here without him. None of us would, but I just, I'm just very blessed, and it just made me become closer to him. So it's like I just learn these things as I go, and it's just my journey in life.
So what would you tell someone like yourself who has a dream or has a sense that they are destined for something big? Because you obviously had that sense, or else you wouldn't have tried out for American Idol. You knew something was waiting for you. It sounds like you knew it was music. What would you tell someone who's in your shoes who is, say, wanting to try out for American Idol or take a big jump at an opportunity? What would you say to stand out? Because you stood out from the beginning. Like, what were your techniques to stand out above the crowd? Because this is all of America who's trying out. Everyone is so talented. There are so many amazing people with incredible stories. What did you do that made you stand out, and how would you pass that on to someone else in your shoes?
You know, it's not a big secret, but all you gotta do, just be yourself. That's all it is to it. Be yourself, nothing different. I mean, even if you're not trying out for American Idol, if you have like some kind of big opportunity in life, even if it means moving away from where you grew up that you love a lot, or around a place that you love a lot, then, and you got to go somewhere far for a good opportunity, that means it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough, but you got to do it. I mean, if you want to be like really, really not, I mean, successful, yes, but like yourself would feel complete. Like,
fulfill like, your own destiny.
Fulfill your own like heart, I guess. I mean,
yes,
it's just,
yes, yes.
Something to be proud of, like something to be proud of when you do something for yourself.
Yeah.
But the reason I started music is because that's what I felt. I just felt happiest doing music. And I played football and baseball and did music at the same time. And I got in high school, I had to start thinking about what I was going to do after high school. I was like thinking about, should I be a contractor or a plumber or electrician? You can be that. I mean, if you're happy doing that kind of stuff, I mean, I know a lot of people that love doing that job like that. My dad's a contractor. My brother, he does flooring and everything. So, I mean, music was my calling, and that's the way I went. I mean, go for it.
And it's scary. How do you know in your gut when to make a move? Like, as you said, like, if you feel like you have an opportunity, but it's scary and it might take you out of your comfort zone, how do you know when to do that? Like, because sometimes it's like you get opportunities, but it doesn't feel like the right opportunity. And then other times opportunities show up and you're like, I have to do this. What does that feel like to you when you know you have to do something?
Well, I think it's more about you try new things and just, yeah, just try new things. Don't be afraid of failure, because failure produces success. And life's all about trial and error, and that's just something that's always going to be there. Maybe you don't know if this is what you want to do, but you'll find out. And when you find out, then you can do something else.
I love that. I want to talk about your music, but I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you learned from your American Idol experience. Like, what did you learn from performing on a big stage like that in front of millions of people? What did you learn about yourself?
Well, being up on that stage, doing the live performances and everything, it was crazy, overwhelming production, confetti, just huge production. I mean,
lights.
In my head, yes, lights everywhere. And I mean, it was like overwhelming, and in my head, I really couldn't think. It was just like, I'm doing this right now. It's crazy. Like,
did you blank out? Did you ever like blank out and be like, oh my gosh, I forgot the words. I forgot how to breathe. I forgot how to move.
Well, I didn't forget the words, which is crazy. I got lucky. We didn't have a teleprompter. We didn't have a teleprompter, so we had to remember the words. But that's something I didn't want to worry about. I was just like, don't think about it. Don't think about the words. Just don't stress it out. But it was just blank. My mind was blank. That's why I barely remember anything. Every time I sang, I walked off the stage, and what just happened?
Right.
Contestants, everything, and they're like, you did good. I was like, did I? Because I don't remember.
What did that teach you, though? What did you learn about yourself in the middle of all that?
Well, I just learned that you just believe in yourself. Believe in yourself, and I mean, that's all I gotta say about it. Just believe.
Just show up, really.
Yeah. Do you, and if you fail, you fail, and get back up.
Were you thinking about winning the whole time, or were you just thinking about just the next day, the next step?
Well, I was just having fun.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about winning. I didn't even think I was going to win or anything. Everybody was probably going to want to win, but us as contestants, we always talked about it. We were like, even if we don't win, we got to go through all this cool experience with Idol, and I was just basically felt like I was just there. I don't know. That's the kind of feeling I have, if you want me to be honest. Like, I was just, I don't know. It's a blur, but.
Yeah, you're just there. Like, you're just in this, all of a sudden, this new vortex of an experience that, like, yeah, is probably so different than anything you've ever experienced in your life. And it's probably so much to process at once that it's almost like you're just witnessing it, you know?
What is happening? But I tried not, like, I tried not to process anything until, like, after the show was over. I slowly process stuff because it was so much stuff. But it's hard to process it. You just got to accept it happened, you know? I still can't believe I won.
With your processing, what do you do when you process? Do you, like, start back at the beginning of the night and, like, go through the whole thing in your mind again?
Yeah, I'll start at the beginning of it all, and I'll just, like, slowly dissect every memory and experience I had and all the people I met, everything. And it's like, you start remembering stuff. It's like, whoa, can't believe you did that. Can't believe you did that.
What did you learn from some of these legendary judges that were watching you perform every time? What did they teach you? What did you learn from their, from them, from their journeys, from their advice that they gave you?
I don't know, like, all of it, but I know they told us stuff all the time, and I'm probably, I mean, they told us stuff all the time, and I remember Lionel telling us, they all told us, don't give up. I mean, that's something everybody should live by. I mean, keep getting back up. Be you is what Katie always said.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke just said, be you and do what you do.
He knew you were going to win from the beginning. He called it. He had his eye on you from the start. So you put out some music, which I think is so amazing and super reflective of who it seems that you are from just a person perspective. It's a lot about, like, your hometown, Tiny Town, which I love. That one is so good. You have a music video for that. And then The Ground I Grew Up On, I know you just put out a music video for. But I love Tiny Town. Like, one of the lines that stood out to me, I don't know if I'm going to say it perfectly, was like, you don't necessarily go to restaurants because everyone's doing their own cooking. And it just made me feel like you grew up in a place that had a big sense of community, and everyone was very capable, and it just felt like you look out for each other, but yet it's like, I don't know, hardworking American people just living a really great life and really having some good values.
Yep. Simple. It's just simple. It's nothing to think about. You just live a simple, just old-fashioned raised life. And I know which line you're talking about. You're talking about don't eat out because they all cook.
Yeah.
No. I mean, that's a really golden line Michael wrote. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's really crazy.
What's it like growing up living, like you said, nothing to think about, just a simple life? What is that like? What does that create in you as far as the way you view the world, the way you view yourself? Like, what, living that simple life and having those values and those core truths that you've grown up with, like, how does that affect you as a person? Like,
I just live life simple. I do things simple. I don't know. I mean, there's not much to say about it besides just...
Does that create peace within you, living simply?
Yes. For sure. Overthinking is unnecessary, I think.
I agree. Do you kind of let life just flow the way it flows? Or
yes.
Are you actively pursuing the next? Or are you just sort of letting it be?
I'm just letting it flow. And I'm just letting it just flow because it's going to happen anyway. Like, the next day is going to happen. It's going to go by. Nothing you can do about it. You just keep on going, and if you want to slow the flow down, then I guess you can. But life is crazy. I mean, I don't know what to say.
So run through your new songs. Run through the songs that you put out. Tell me the list of them, and then kind of give me a little description about them and what they mean to me. What they mean to you.
Starting from which one?
Didn't you just put out like a 5-song EP? It's like Tiny Town, The Other LA, The Ground I Grew Up On.
Let There Be Country was written by Jason Affable and Steve Mochler. Is it Mochler?
Mochler.
And that song, I heard it as a demo. I was like, that's a cool rocking country song. So I was like, let's record that one. And then Ground I Grew Up On.
I love that. Brandon Kinney wrote that one. I love Brandon Kinney.
Him and Josh, was it just Brandon or was it him and no, Josh Thompson?
Yeah. Josh Thompson too. He's so great.
Yes. And when I heard that song, I was like, wow, it's kind of like Tiny Town. It kind of related back home for me. But we shot that music video right before quarantine happened, right before it started. And everybody, I mean, it got crazy. But, yeah, I mean, that song, I got to shoot my first music video with that song at home in the swamp where we got to go. We did things that I grew up doing and I still do to this day.
So that probably meant a lot to you to document your life like that in this song.
Family and friends were with me, everything. My dad just swung the door open. I had an office in Nashville.
Oh, nice.
But... yeah, and Tiny Town, we talked about that. Michael Tyler wrote that one.
Mm-hmm. I love that one. That was great.
Very relatable song to where I'm from, and hopefully it's relatable to a lot more people out there.
The Other LA, I think, is cool because you're from the Other LA. Everyone thinks of LA like Los Angeles, California, but you're like, no, this is Louisiana.
Yep. When I was out in California for my time in Idol, on Idol, I was there for about 7 or 8 weeks. And finally, I got to go home for the top 3 hometown video or whatever, where we went home, had a big parade and stuff. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And also, right before quarantine, I wrote this song with Andy Sheridan, Eric Dillon, and Dan Isbell. And I came in with the idea because I thought of it when I was in California, wrote it down in my notes, pulled it out at the songwrite. I was like, what y'all think about Other LA? And I explained it, and they were like, yeah, let's run with that idea. And then we started playing with it. And I told them, I said, when you fly in to New Orleans, you fly over the Pontchartrain, across it, or you at least see it. So that's where that line came from. And then Rodeo Drive, when me and my dad got to California, I seen the sign, and I said rodeo, and me and my dad both did. And the Uber driver's like, it's Rodeo.
Rodeo. Like,
okay, I get it. That's that street I've heard about. That's where that came from. But that song's, I wrote that one, and I'm really, really proud of it. And yeah, and please come on for Christmas.
That's out. So you just put out a Christmas song, and that's exciting. How's that?
That one's awesome. Don Henley, I mean, the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Big inspiration. Classic rock is a big inspiration for me. And that specific version is the one I wanted to kind of reflect from. So, yeah.
The Eagles, are the Eagles big influences on you?
The Eagles, Steve Miller Band, Boston Journey, Pearl Jam, Little Richard, all kind of people.
So you grew up listening to some classic music because you're not that old. What are you, 18, 19?
I just turned 20.
20, okay, because I know you entered when you were 17. But that, so you won two, okay, so you just turned 20. So you have some strong influences of some legendary music. Was that how your, did your parents have that playing in the household?
Well, my dad played it on the radio in the truck sometimes. And finally, I started doing my musical research when I was a kid. And I was just playing these records, these old vinyl records on this old record player we had. My dad had these old like collection, like in the attic, of all these people, Rod Stewart and just like all like Jimi Hendrix and Brian Adams and all them, and I'd always listen to it every day. I'd just listen to it and be amazed every time I heard a song, because it, I mean, at the time when I was a kid, I mean, music was good, but for some reason, I was drawn to that kind of music, and I still am. I still am. I mean, I like country and stuff, but I mean, that was my favorite.
Well, you can hear it in your voice too. You have so much soul in your voice, and I'm sure you heard that all the time. But you just have like such a powerful, raspy, soulful voice that comes out of you, and it feels old school a little bit. You know, it feels a little bit like before this generation that we're in. I think that's so cool that you have so many musical influences that date back even before your time. I think that's awesome. And I'm with you. I love that older stuff, like the rock and roll and just like classic. It's just amazing. So, okay. So new music coming out, where can everyone find your songs? Where can they find your music? Where can they find your Christmas song?
Well, you can find it on my social media. You go to LaneHardyMusic.com, and you can click the music tab and check out all my songs. You can go on Apple Music, you can type in Lane Hardy and go to my artist profile, and all my songs should be there. If not, there's a problem. But
you have some virtual shows coming up too, right?
I do. I have some virtual shows coming up, and I'm doing a show in November, late November, at Leeds, in Leeds, Alabama, at a drive-in.
It's
a
fun. Yeah. So that'll be your first drive-in show?
First ever.
What are you looking forward to about it?
It's going to be really cool and, like, old school.
It'll be nice to play for some fans, too, I'm sure.
I'm excited. I'm definitely excited.
Okay, so are you playing by yourself? Will you be playing with someone else? Is it to promote your new music?
I'll be playing with my band from back home.
Cool. That'll be so fun. Okay, so everyone in, we said Leeds, Alabama?
Leeds, Alabama.
Okay, are you doing any virtual shows coming up where people can find out about them?
Yeah, I'm doing some virtual shows. I think they're on my website too. You can find the dates. Or on my Facebook page, you can find all the dates for my virtual tours.
Okay, awesome. What was it like when they said, Lane Hardy, you are the next American Idol.
That's a hard question. I mean, it was like, I was at like a loss of emotion. I didn't know what to feel, how to feel, what to do. I just stood there. I was like just walking around like, what just happened? It felt like a dream. It was like a whirlwind.
How has life changed for you since becoming the American Idol winner?
My life has changed, but I'm still the same person I was before. My life has just been, more people know me now, and I'm just excited that I get to share my journey with my fans, the people that got me here. I get to share my life with all these people, my fans. So,
was there one moment that you've had, that you've experienced since being on this journey, where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just got to do that, or I can't believe I just got to meet that person? Was there like a moment that like took your breath away?
All of it has. All of it has. Just every single thing I get to do, I'm just really, really appreciative of it. So, besides, meeting Uncle Jesse was pretty cool. John Stamos. I played at the Capitol 4 event last year in Washington, D.C., and he was the host. And he introduced me, and I walked through the chairs, and I got on the stage, this huge stage with the National Symphony Orchestra, played Johnny B. Goode, and went and got on these stairs, sang God Bless America with Lee Brice right behind me, and then like Sesame Street, Big Bird, everything. It was crazy.
That's quite a lineup.
Cannons, boom, going off. I don't know. It felt like I was in a dream.
Are you like, is this real life? There's so much happening. That's just crazy. Wow. That's a lot. This is a lot to process and take in. I think you're doing an amazing job of just like receiving it all and just being in the moment.
Yeah, I just try not to. I try not to process it at the time. I'm like, okay, put this over here, save it for later, then freak out. You know?
That's really good advice. Is there anything else we need to know, Lane? Like anything we need to know musically, performance-wise, to keep us up to speed with everything happening? I just want to make sure I got all the good information.
I think that's about it.
So music on your website, virtual shows on your website. You got your first drive-in coming up. And any tips for surviving coronavirus? Like how are you staying sane these days? Because it's just such a weird time to be alive.
Well, I'm just doing my hobbies.
What are your hobbies? Oh, you built like this massive chicken coop. Is that a house or is that for your chickens?
It's not really. We're calling it a chicken coop. But it's a studio.
It's so cool. You built that yourself. It's like this elevated house that looks like this amazing little retreat.
Yeah. Me and my buddy Nick Odom and my dad, one day I was like, let's build something 10 foot off the ground. So we had these big like telephone poles, these pylons, and we drilled holes 3 foot, 4 foot in the ground. We put 15 of them with our hands in there, and we cemented them in there, and we built, what's that called again? I forgot what it's called, but floor joist, I guess, or like just the foundation of it up there. And we made like a really cool barn looking thing. We cut on the porch, the front and back porch of it. We went out in the yard, cut down a pine tree, shaved off the bark of the pine tree, put them on the front of the porches for the stands. It looks so cool. It's called a chicken coop.
Is that such an accomplishment to say, like, I built this?
It's pretty cool. It's really cool. Like, I'm excited to get it ready. That way I can start doing demos and make it. It's gonna be called a chicken coop. That's the studio.
You got a lot of talents, Lane. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I always like to wrap up with one question, which is lead your light, which is basically, what do you want people to know? Just what do you want to tell people?
I just want to say thank you for being supportive of me. And if it wasn't for you behind the camera, I wouldn't be me right now. Like, I wouldn't have all this right now. So you are great. I'm your biggest fan.
Oh man. Well, I'm sure your fans receive that, and that's such an amazing attitude to have, attitude of gratitude always. So good luck on all of your musical endeavors and every other amazing hobby and skill that you have, like building chicken coops. Good luck with all of that. We will all be following your journey, and thank you so much for joining us here on Nashville Insider, talking about your career.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye, Lane.
Bye.